The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and this is U.S. Open Week. It's Tuesday, June the 13th, and all the top golfers in the world are in Erin Hills, Wisconsin, getting ready for the 117th U.S. Open at Erin Hills. A new course to this venue, a new venue for this tournament for the U.S. Open, and we're going to be joined by Bob Bupka here in just a minute, who is there in the media center to give us a little lowdown on exactly what the weather's like, because that could certainly be a factor. Definitely here in the practice rounds, and maybe even later on. We'll talk about Phil Mickelson. Will he be there? Won't he be there? It's still a little bit up in the air what exactly Phil's going to be able to do because of his daughter's high school graduation and so many other things, including we'd like to congratulate Daniel Berger for winning last week at the FedEx St. Jude Championship, the Classic, for the second year in a row. So congratulations to Daniel Berger, and that all leads to the President's Cup, and his points have moved up, and so many things that we have to talk about. But joining us right now, Frank Bassett from our Nashville studios. Frank, how's everything in Nashville?
It's great. I'm back home. Was in Memphis for the FedEx St. Jude Classic. And
that's right.
Got to tell you, man, Memphis is a barbecue town. So how do you get a double burger?
I don't know.
Double burger. You win the FedEx St. Jude Classic 2 years in a row and you come from behind the second year to do it. What an incredible performance. And Phil, of course.
Very nice, yeah.
Phil was staying in the same hotel with us. So I had a chance to talk with him. Probably 15, 20 minutes, whatever. But
did he give you any insight into his plans?
No, I didn't really get into that. We were just talking generalities, but he's such a nice guy. And he was schlepping his own bag. I was getting out of my car, he's getting out of his PGA Tour car, and he pulls his bag out, puts it over his shoulder, and he's taking it up to the room. No Bones, no nothing. We did talk to Bones, by the way. I won't belabor this, but Bones, of course, had two knee replacements, same time, both knees. Mm-hmm. And the first practice round he played out there, it almost killed him because it was so wet. The fairways were so spongy, it was really tough on his knees. Bones was not looking like he was getting around real easily this past week in Memphis. But great tournament, great charity, great barbecue. The rendezvous is great. Poncho's cheese dip's great. There's $100 worth of it in my refrigerator. But, there you go. It was a great
tournament.
Here's
what we're saying there. What you're saying is Phil's going to be his own caddy at the U.S. Open. That is breaking news.
No.
Phil Mickelson
ain't
carrying his own bag.
Ain't happening. No.
Okay.
No. Ain't happening.
Hey, by the way, this is June the 13th. That is my 19th anniversary, gentlemen. So happy anniversary to Tim and his lovely wife, Miche.
Hey.
She's allowing me to do the show on my anniversary. So 19
happy
years
anniversary.
Ago,
I can't believe she stuck with you this long.
We were in Carmel, California, getting married in Carmel. I can't either. Don't ask me how that happened. But anyway, so just sneak that one in there.
Hey, on all seriousness, happy anniversary.
Yeah.
That's great for you, too. But I hear a bunch of background noise. Where is that coming from?
It's not my house. Are there a lot of people at your house, Frank?
No, I don't think so. It could only be one place.
There must be a lot of people at Bob Bupka's house. And he comes to us now from Erin Hills, the media center. He's the host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. Bob, how are you doing today?
Well, first off, congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you.
You know, very rarely do you ever know anybody that's guaranteed to go to heaven, but I think maybe your wife falls into that category. So best wishes, guys.
Thank you so much.
And you can feel the excitement here already. You know, the USGA, our national championship, and three kind of unusual things early in the week. And we always hear in the sport of golf, and Frank, I know you've just back from an impressive victory by Mr. Berger. And, you know, Daniel, he's making a believer out of me. I think he's the real deal, and I think he's going to be around the scene for quite a while. But three oddities early in the week for this 117th U.S. Open. Number one, the guy that dreamed of having a U.S. Open here, did everything. He's not going to be able to make it because he's in jail having murdered his wife, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah.
There's a fun fact.
Yeah, 35 years to life he's serving.
Oh, my
so they wouldn't
Lord.
Let him out for the U.S. Open. Then the other thing we always hear, well, you know, young guys, old guys on the tour can compete against one another. How about this week? Phil Mickelson may not make it here because his daughter Amanda is graduating from high school, and like a good father, he wants to be there for graduation, and I applaud him for that. On the flip side, Dustin Johnson is waiting the arrival of his second child. He's not going to leave there until that child is born. So, you know, we got an old guy going to his daughter's graduation. We got a young guy waiting for his second child. And then we're going to have a U.S. Open here that should be spectacular. Erin Hills is absolutely incredible. It's on a massive piece of property, a little over 600 acres. I mean, 600 acres is a lot of land.
I'm afraid to ask this, but the fella who dreamed up Erin Hills that murdered his wife, was his wife named Erin?
mean, that's a good one. I didn't even think of that.
I don't know.
Ironically enough, as soon as I, you know, was made aware of this murder, it takes me to next year at Shinnecock Hills, because the architect of the golf course, the clubhouse, I should say, is a fellow by the name of Stanford White, one of the most famous architects back in the day. I mean, he was highly regarded. He only built two clubhouses, one at Shinnecock, and then he built a miniature Shinnecock down at Aiken, South Carolina, Palmetto, where Kevin Kisner is a member and is building a home. But Stanford White also was the architect for Madison Square Garden. Stanford White went to Madison Square Garden for an event, and a gentleman came up that thought Stanford White was fooling around with his wife, took out a pistol, and shot him dead. So we got a murder this year, we got murder next year, and hopefully we have a great U.S. Open in between.
We're going to have a couple of killer
yeah, U.S.
Opens.
Rivera joins us now, you know. Seriously, holy
Good
smoke.
Lord.
Who knew what we were going to get with Bob Butka this morning?
Been a great show.
I'm curious. I don't want to ask any more about it because we can move on. Is this a recent murder we're talking about, or are we talking about something that happened 50 years ago, Bob?
Oh, no. Erin Hills didn't even exist until...
Okay. So it's recent. Yeah, wow.
So,
okay. Well, there you go.
Lord.
Okay. Thank you, Geraldo.
You never know what you're gonna
get. here on Golf Talk America.
You know, we need to get Jerry Springer in on the show too. Then this is crazy.
Why not?
Unbelievable.
Why not? Hey, Bob, I'm curious. Though, you talked about obviously we're talking a little bit about Erin Hills. First of all, if you could give us an update for today, a little bit rainy, a little overcast. Are they going to be able to get out practice a little bit today, or what do you think?
Well, the range has been closed. It's just due to open in a couple of minutes. We've had some severe weather move through the area last night. At one point, winds were gusting 50, 60, 70 miles an hour here. There was great concern that some of the infrastructure might be blown away, but very well constructed. Had concerns for the media center. I thought of doing Golf Talk America this morning from out in the field because of no media center, but it is here, and the weather is supposed to improve in a little while. They're opening the range. Practice rounds are going to begin. More bad weather due to move in later this afternoon. Hopefully it doesn't materialize. And then, you know, the real important time obviously will be Thursday through Sunday when we would expect good weather. And right now the long range forecast looking pretty good. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay. Well, so that could be a factor. We'll see how that plays out. Let's talk a little bit more also about the golf course, because a lot of attention placed on the golf course, as it is every year for U.S. Open, and how the USGA sets it up for the top players in the world to play there and compete. Not a true links golf course. As a matter of fact, they call it a Heartland golf course, is the term that they're using there. Certainly no ocean around, I guess, to purely define it as a links golf course. But it has a lot of those same attributes. Rolling, a lot more rolls probably than people would think in the Midwest or in Wisconsin there. So rolling hills, a lot of bunkers, not a lot of trees. What do you think about the course, Bob? You've been to a lot of venues that have hosted major championships. What do you think about this as a major championship venue?
Well, the one thing that's going to dictate the severity of this golf course. And by the way, just to give you a little flavor, there are four par fives on Erin Hills. Three are over 600 yards. The other one's a real short one. It's only 594. So, you know, if the wind blows here, you know, anything can happen. I mean, because it literally is only one tree on the entire golf course. That's located between the 15th and 16th green. So weather could be a huge factor, especially if, you know, you get any winds that come up to 20, 25, 30 miles an hour. This place is a real bear of a golf course. And I would give me that kind of wind, I'd take even par, and I wouldn't even tee it up. And I'd probably be holding the trophy at the week's end. That's for sure.
Well, that's always the goal of the USGA, is it not, Bob? Even par? Isn't that how they kind of want to play it?
Well, they're trying to get away from that. You know, it's been becoming somewhat of a stigma for Mike Davis and the USGA. They're not really concerned about, you know, what the score is. The real mission this week, and I think it's the mission that they're trying hard to manifest, and that is identify who's playing the best golf right now. And if you have a golf course that can identify that person, then their job would be done. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, you know, if three guys are tied at 14 under par coming to the 72nd hole, great. If three guys are tied at level par, that'd be great also.
We're talking with Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And, Bob, we're talking about the golf course and Erin Hills and what it might bring into play, being a different kind of a golf course. And I don't want to belittle this because it could be a factor. It sounds a little trivial, but in what I've been reading about the golf course and that area, there's a lot of hay fever issues there. And Henrik Stenson said it's hay fever heaven. Jordan Spieth has said that he's taking all kinds of medication for hay fever. I don't know if that's going to be an issue as far as the guys wheezing and coughing while they're out there trying to play golf. But we talked about the weather and whether there's going to be some rain and whatnot. From a fan standpoint, I'm curious. This course was built, I guess, to host a major championship. It makes me think of Chambers Bay just a few years ago when Jordan Spieth won, also hosting its first major championship. And they did have a lot of problems and a lot of complaints that fans couldn't get around the golf course very well. Is this a fan-friendly golf course for people that are going to be going there to watch the action?
Well, that's a good question, Tim, and I would have to say yes. I mean, just taking a look at this piece of property, I mean, if they wanted to and if the demand was there, I could see that they could get 100,000 spectators and they would all be comfortable out here. It's certainly a lot easier to walk than Whistling Straits, the other golf course in the state of Wisconsin that's hosted a major championship, a couple of PGAs and a Women's Open back in 1998, which was won by Sari Pack. So as far as accommodating people, this property's so big, and it's relatively easy to get around. So, and going back to the hay fever, I think some of this rain earlier in the week, I'm not an expert on hay fever, but I think the wetter it is, the less severe the prospects for suffering from hay fever. Now, I could be completely wrong. I hope I'm not. You know, and ticks, I would think. You know, there's so much long grass here. Yeah. You know, ticks could be a problem. I'm sure they've taken precautions and sprayed and done everything that they could possibly do. I mean, Mike Davis in the USGA has his place ready. I mean, it's ready to go right now. I'm sure that they're not happy about this inclement weather that's visiting us, but at least it's now rather than once the event starts. So we keep our fingers crossed. We can take a little lousy weather during practice rounds in exchange for good weather during the actual competition.
You know, I think Phil was banking on some bad weather on Thursday, was he not, Bob? Because of his daughter's graduation, which would give him time to get from California back to Wisconsin to play this tournament.
good point, Frank. He actually has it calculated. He needs a four-hour delay in his wow. tee time. So if there's inclement weather Thursday morning and tee times are pushed back, a grand total of 4 hours, Phil will be able to go to the graduation, listen to his daughter's, which I'm sure is going to be a magnificent speech, and then get on his plane. There's an airport about 15 minutes from here, be able to land that plane, get to the first tee, and tee off. Now, Bones is here checking the golf course out. Phil has never seen Erin Hills, but I think, you know, he brought up a good point after his round down in Memphis when saying sometimes if you don't know where trouble is on the golf course, it's easier to hit away from it because you don't know how severe it is, so you're really not that worried about it. And I think that's a pretty good strategy for someone to try, especially in a place where not everybody is familiar with this golf course. I mean, they've never had an event here. You know, U.S. Amateur, I think in 2011, a couple of guys that are in the field played in that. So if there's any local knowledge, you know, it would have been gained from that one event, but never a professional event here. So I don't think there's any home course edge to the players playing here.
Yeah, you're right about that, Bob. 18 players actually played in that field in the 2011 U.S. Amateur at Erin Hills. So 18 of the guys in this field have some knowledge, although Jordan Spieth said, I can't remember but like three or four holes from 2011 when he played in that, when he was just like a 15-year-old. So he didn't have a lot of memory of it, so it probably isn't a huge advantage. But I am curious, bringing up Spieth as a guy who won at Chambers Bay a few years ago, and others that we might bring up as potential winners of this. Jason Day comes to mind. Hasn't been playing that well, but we remember that he won his first major championship, was a PGA championship, and you mentioned Whistling Straits. That's where he won it in 2015 over Spieth. That's about an hour north of Erin Hills. So Day has some familiarity, maybe likes that area. You've got Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy. Obviously, Spieth comes into question as well. Dustin Johnson, defending champion. A lot of great players, obviously the best in the world. A couple of names that come to mind for you, Bob, and who you think we should keep an eye on that might be holding up that trophy on Sunday.
Well, I kind of fancy Rory McIlroy on the international scene, along with John Rahm, believe it or not. I mean, sure. He played in this event a year ago as a U.S. amateur at Oakmont. And now he's back ranked in the top 10 in the world. And as far as he hits it, it's just incredible. I had an opportunity to talk with Dwayne Bach, who was Kevin Kisner's caddy when Kevin won at Colonial. John Rahm got to play a couple of rounds with Kevin Kisner. And I asked Dwayne Bach, who played 12 years on the Canadian Tour and now has been the caddy for Kevin Kisner since in 2009. I said, tell me about John Rahm's game. And Dwayne Bach said to me, guys, he said he was so impressed on the narrow, narrow fairways of Colonial, tree-lined on both sides, a lot of players hitting irons off the tee just to keep it out of the trees. He said John Rahm would take out his driver and whistle it right down the middle of the fairway in excess of 300 yards. I said, wow. And so that kind of game, you know, even though he's only 22 years old, he's somebody on the international side you may want to keep an eye on. Obviously, I'm a little biased in having Kevin Kisner, winner of Colonial a couple of weeks ago. I think he has the game that could serve him well here at Erin Hills. Deciding who's going to win always is a tough task. But I know one other thing, guys. There is going to be a winner of a vertical groove driver because I want to thank the listeners to Golf Talk America, and all they have to do is send an email to entry@thegrillroom.com with who they think is going to win the U.S. Open. If we have more than one, we'll draw out of a hat to see who the winner will be. But retail value, just under $400. You'll hit this driver straighter, you'll hit it further, and all you have to do is enter the contest. That's my gift to the wonderful listeners you have of Golf Talk America.
Well, that's awesome.
No, well, let's give that entry one
the
more time.
Again. Where do they send
where
it?
Where do they go?
Yeah, it just goes entry@thegrillroom.com. Pretty simple.
Okay.
You can't make a mistake, and come on. Listeners, get yourself a driver.
Yep.
You'll be the envy of your foursome.
Let me tell you that I've been out hitting mine, getting ready for, I have a tournament coming up this weekend, the Heimerdinger here in Nashville. It's a charity event for Mike Heimerdinger, who died of cancer. He was a Titans football coach. And a lot of the NFL people come in. My vertical groove driver will be in the bag with me. I love it. Bob, thank you. I love it. It's long and straight, and it's good.
Hey, Frank, I got you penciled in to play in the U.S. Open next year at Shinnecock. Isn't it so far? It's so early.
I'm in. I'll probably qualify. Yeah. I'll qualify in the bar. So, hey, you know, you're there, so you've probably seen this, but Tim, are you familiar with the term kettle moraine?
I don't think I am.
Kettle moraine.
Kettle moraine.
What
is that?
Moraine is defined as an irregular mass of unstratified glacial drift. And kettle, of course, is a deep kettle-shaped depression and a great glacial drift. So Shinnecock, or I'm sorry, Erin Hills, I should say, the region that it's in was developed by glaciers, and it's in a kettle moraine. So you'll hear that a lot this week at the U.S. Open. Kettle moraine.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Look at, more breaking news. You're on Golf Talk America.
Well, it's,
I thought it was a lead singer for a band or something.
Okay, well, here's
that's what it sounded like, Tim.
Kettle Moraine.
Well, it says
I love her.
The Green Bay Lobe Glacier collided with the Lake Michigan Lobe Glacial 30,000 years ago, and that's what developed this. So Erin Hills was developed from Kettle Moraine. There you go. I'm sorry.
I am curious. That's okay, but we're talking about that area, Frank, so even in that same sense. It's about an hour, am I right on this, an hour and a half north of Milwaukee. Where does everybody stay? I mean, are there hotels? I get the feeling it's just nothing but farmland around this golf course. Or are there little towns, little hotels? Where's everybody staying for this tournament?
Well, there's no hotels in the immediate area. We found a lovely Sheraton that the media is staying in. A lot of people, it's a big property, but it's a good 30, 35 minutes by bus with no traffic to get us here each and every day. So I talked to a real estate person. There are a lot of private homes in and around this area, and it's just spectacular landscape. So, a lot of the players have rented homes, and so they won't be inconvenienced at all. But Frank's right. It's this the property itself used to be a glacier, which is pretty amazing stuff. And no, I did not cover that collision 30,000 years ago before you guys even say something
my next
like
question.
That.
That was my next question.
I was I'm not like Tim. I'm not like that. Tim does that, not me.
One last thing. Once again, happy anniversary to you and your wife, Tim. I'm excited about this U.S. Open. And once again, I want to thank all the listeners of Golf Talk America, and make sure you drop an entry email into entry@thegrillroom.com. Win yourself one of those vertical groove drivers. And gentlemen, they're pulling the plug on me here in the media center, and London is awaiting. So, hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Hey,
thanks so much,
thank
Bob.
Thank you, Bob. We appreciate it. Have a great tournament. Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And brought to you by Vertical Groove Drivers.
Bob has to do a hit in London right now. So, yeah, we ran right over into that time at 9:15. So he has a minute and a half to be ready for that one. The interesting
is all over him.
Oh, yes, she is. there are 138 bunkers on this golf course, Tim. And these are unlike any bunkers really that are seen on tour, is what Mike Davis is saying, because there's not a flat lie in these bunkers. Uphill, downhill, side hill, whatever.
Yeah.
So they will truly be hazards as opposed to, something that, a lot of the tour players are so good. All of them are so good, period. But they play, as you well know, for the bunker in a lot of cases. When they can't hold a green, they'll just play for the bunker and then come out of the bunker to get their birdie or par. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. Going to be interesting to watch, a lot like Chambers Bay. But you mentioned the spectator issue. And I have heard and talked to several people that are in this business with us. And they said that it's the same situation that Chambers was, that you're not up close and personal with it. They kind of push back.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's certainly from our standpoint of TV viewers, if we're not there, shouldn't be a problem. And that's the majority of people that will watch this. But if you do go to a tournament, you do also want to kind of be there and see the guys. And you're not going to be within 3 feet of them while they're putting, but you don't want to be 300 yards away either. And at Chambers Bay, there were some holes where people said you could not tell until the caddy gave the guy a high five or not, if a putt went in or didn't go. That's how far away you had to stand to get to some viewing sites and stuff.
Yeah,
so
that's
why I was
like
curious
that.
if this was going to be different. Yeah, it's not nearly as friendly, if you will, from a viewer standpoint, a person who's on the course there to be able to see all the action that you want to see and you got to make the trip. I mean, if you're going to go to Erin Hills, let's be honest, you got to want to get there because it's not like it's right off some major highway out of a major city. It's an hour and a half north of Milwaukee in the heartland.
Yeah,
of Wisconsin. So if you get there, you kind of like to see some action, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's
we'll see.
That's you know, we're fortunate that we're inside the ropes and wandering around and being able to see the golf up close and personal. But for the daily grounds ticket holder, that's kind of disconcerting to me. That we need to really, those are the people who promote the game and buy the tickets and come out. So I don't know. I'm not far be it from me to criticize the USGA. I'm not going to do that. But
I do, but I do agree that while you want to make it hard for the players and a challenge for the players and all that, it is about the title and the players playing that you can't be oblivious to the fact that you might have 50 or 75,000 people there every day. You have to, and they're the ones that are buying the hats and the cups and the coffees and the Cokes and the tickets to get in. You have to accommodate them to some degree.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We'll see when it's all said and done if they're happy with it or not and if it maybe goes back to Erin Hills. I do want to mention, too, that we were talking about some of the contenders that possibly might play well. I do, and of course, I'm a little bit biased of Jordan Spieth here from Dallas and everything. But Spieth joined the new course that I got to play last week, and we're going to have Harrison Frazier on, former PGA Tour player, to talk about it. But it's Trinity Forest. We've talked about this during the Byron Nelson. It's the new site of the Byron Nelson Classic. They're moving from the TPC Four Seasons in Las Colinas here in the Dallas area, going to Trinity Forest. So I played there with Harrison Frazier. And it's also very much like Erin Hills. It's links-like, if you will. There's certainly not seaside, but it has no trees, no water, and a bunch of bunkers designed by Crenshaw Core Group, Ben Crenshaw, Bill Core, that want that natural look. So just like Erin Hills, the fescue and the natural grasses grow up in the rough. There's not thick rough as you would think of Shinnecock and some of the other ones. It's just, and in this case of Trinity Forest, it's a sandy base with a lot of wildflowers and things grow, but they grow 3 or 4 feet high. So if you get into it, you know, you're in some trouble. Even if it's not thick, thick, fescue kind of grass or northern grass. So that's the design of it. And I think because Jordan Spieth has been playing there and getting ready with Cameron McCormick, his instructor, maybe that gives him a little insight into how to play because it's all about, and again, when we talk to Harrison Frazier, he'll tell you, it's all about hitting it where you need to hit it. And there were virtually no shots, Frank, where he said, okay, the pin's right there. Yeah, just go to the pin. He'd say, play it 30 yards left of the pin. I go, what do you mean 30 yards left? 30 yards left of the pin. I'm telling you, just hit. Not that I could do what he says, but that was his point. And then he would do, of course, exactly what he said. And you'd see that ball kick right and go right on the. So you've got to know where to play it. And Erin Hills would be very much the same. You're going to play a lot of shots 20 yards short of the green. You don't go right at the pins like a lot of American golf courses are. You hit it shorter, and that's in that sense, it will seem very links-like, I think, for a lot of people because you're going to have to run the ball up on a lot of the greens or play it on the right mound or the left mound to have it come down to the hole.
Well, also, given the fact that this is one of the longest U.S. Open courses they have played, I mean, Chambers Bay, I guess, was the longest. It was like almost 7,700
or something.
7,695 is what they played it to, I think. But Erin Hills is going to be playing 7,692. Three yards shorter than Chambers Bay. So, good Lord.
Now, when people, so they know, when people see that, they go, oh my gosh, well, every day you're not playing that same course, right? The tee boxes move up and down. So some days it might be closer to 7,400 yards, and some days it might be close. It does move around because you do have on various par threes, it might go from 175 one day to 149 the next day, depending on tee box. Same thing with some of those longer par fives that that Bob was talking about. But no matter how you look at it, it's going to be a long golf course. And to the point I was just bringing up, too, about links golf, you get a lot of roll. Now, if there's a lot of rain, it's going to diminish that some. But if you don't, the defense they have is there's a lot of roll. So you could hit your ball. These guys will carry it 280. It could run out another 50, 60 yards. So those 340-yard drives are getting a lot of help if you hit it in the right place of getting rolls down some of those hills and ravines that they have, getting it to where you want it to be. It's going to be a lot of fun. Excitement and the drama of a U.S. Open is unlike any other.
Great stuff. I'm just going to camp with my Poncho's cheese dip and my chips right in front of the TV.
Are you going to eat 100 pounds of it over the
weekend?
Will it all be gone?
Oh, my gosh. That stuff's good. It's just so good. Here's the deal. Now, let's go back to Memphis for just a minute for our listeners. The fun thing about Memphis is known for barbecue. So one of my buddies there in Memphis said, Frank, if you really want to experience Memphis while you're back in Nashville, take your Poncho's cheese dip, get you some commissary barbecue, okay, put that on some nachos, pour the cheese dip all over the top of it, and then you've got a true Memphis barbadip. Barbadip. That's what he called it.
Okay. Okay.
I haven't tried that yet, but I'm going to. I brought back some barbecue, too.
That's your plan.
That's my plan. Yeah. Memphis was fun. I know we're jumping around here, but Memphis is very close to my heart because it's, you know, the area that I grew up in. But the FedEx St. Jude Classic on the PGA Tour is a great stop. I mean, it's incredible the amount of charity that FedEx gives back and the PGA Tour gives back to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Some of the greatest cancer breakthroughs for children's cancers have occurred at that research hospital. And it's Memphis is right before the U.S. Open, so everybody talks U.S. Open the entire week of the FedEx St. Jude Classic. I have to tell you that listening in the car, driving over, I'm, of course, listening to our friends over at SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. And right after the Paulson boys finish their show, what comes up next? U.S. Open preview. I said, wait a minute. We're about to start the FedEx St. Jude Classic. So I called in, kind of was kind of bitter about it. I said, you know, that's just not right. The U.S. Open, I mean, it's a major. It's a major, major, major. It's the biggest one of all, I think. But this FedEx St. Jude Classic needs the love, and they really do. So there, that's my soapbox for today.
That's right.
Never mind.
You're exactly right about the charity involved. And, of course, every PGA Tour stop has a charity involved, and that's wonderful. But there is something special about St. Jude's Hospital and what they've done there over the years and millions of dollars that have been pumped into that for the research because of the golf tournament. So, no, I think it's appropriate to point that out, that they do deserve the love, and hopefully that tournament will stay right where it is, and FedEx, being in their backyard, will be a sponsor for years and years to come because, as they say in the commercials, no family gets a bill when they go to St. Jude's.
Not a penny.
That's the reason why.
They don't pay for the hotel or their food either. They're housed, fed.
That's very cool.
It doesn't get any better than that. It just really doesn't.
No.
And Memphis, of course, is a great place to visit. So just as a plug for Memphis, for our listeners, go play Southwind.
Port St. Jude's.
Yeah, go play Southwind. Take a lot of golf balls because Southwind captures the most balls. Most balls in the water of any other PGA Tour stop, period. Southwind. It's brutal. I mean, if you play it back like the pros do, you can play it forward in a placement course, and it's fun. But anyway,
by the way, we were talking earlier with Bob about the vertical groove driver that you've been hitting.
Yes.
You've had yours for about a month now.
Yeah.
Guess who hasn't seen one at his front door yet?
Well, we'll have to call Bob's producer and Janice.
Oh,
we won't say last names.
I think they're just backlogged. I don't think it's her fault.
Yeah,
it's somebody's fault. I think they're just backlogged because they're so freaking popular.
They are really popular, and they're really good.
Everybody wants a vertical groove drive. I can't wait to get mine to hit.
I did this. I'm a 9 degree, but I have a jumbo grip on it. I had to change that jumbo grip. I went down to a regular, just two wraps, basically, for me, because it was too big, and I was having some trouble. But once I got it, you know, tweaked right to me, and I ordered it that way, it wasn't their fault. I like it a lot.
Perfect.
I mean, I'm hitting it. And again, I'm playing Friday. I'll be playing with Coach Mike Shanahan and Jeff Fisher this Friday in the Nice. Heimerdinger tournament. Nice. That'll be fun. So we'll talk a little football and play a little golf and raise some money for, again, this is for good food for cancer, cancer people who are in cancer treatment. The Heimerdinger Foundation takes food to their home. That's what they do. And feeds them with the proper nutritionary. Hello, I went to Ole Miss. The proper nutrition in the food products. So it's a great cause. It's going to be fun. We have a big charity event, so they can go online, Google Heimerdinger, and the big charity event. You can go online. You can bid on some really cool stuff, and the money all goes to the Heimerdinger Foundation. So it's going to be fun. Can't wait. Big dinner Saturday night, by the way, too. So you want me to bid on something for you? What do you want? That new Bentley?
I'll take a look.
Keith Urban's Bentley convertible?
Bid on that for me. You know, you can always look impressive to people by bidding on a lot of those things that you have no idea or no plan that you'll ever actually get.
Don't give that away.
Like, really?
Don't give it away.
I put $20 down. I didn't get that. My $20 didn't hold up.
Yeah, but here's the fear. Minimum bid, you know, $4,000 on something. Yeah. I'm not going to put the minimum bid down. I'm just not going to do it because nobody bids on it.
And you're like, oh God,
oh Lord,
somebody.
MasterCard, can you increase?
Hey, by the way, back to the U.S. Open, we were talking with Bob Buck a minute ago, and he was mentioning John Rahm as a possibility, and certainly he is. He's got to be somebody that everybody's looking at as a possibility. Here's some of the pairings, speaking of John Rahm and some of the other guys, and these are great pairings. That's what's great about the majors is that a lot of times, nothing against some of the other guys that you don't know, but a lot of times you're going to see some golfers that you're not really that familiar. At these majors, you know them all, and they're almost every pairing is a great one. Rahm's playing with Ricky Fowler and Hideki Matsuyama. So that would be a great one to watch. Some guys that can really move the ball. Kevin Kisner from Colonial, winner. And Billy Horschel, who won the other stop here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area at the Byron Nelson AT&T, is playing with Brandon Grace. Martin Keimer, here's the last three U.S. Open champions. Martin Keimer with Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson, all playing in a
that's a good pairing.
On Thursday. That'll be a really nice one. You've got Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and Sergio Garcia, the reigning Masters champion. So Sergio looking for his second major championship. Jason Day, Justin Rose, and Rory McIlroy. How would you like to follow those guys?
Jason Day
and Rory McIlroy.
No,
so
thank you.
Just some great, great action that's going to start on Thursday.
I like Phil's group. Do you see that one?
Yeah.
Sink.
Yeah, Phil's playing with the old guys.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
What's their combined ages? What are their combined ages? Like 197 or something?
Oh, my Lord.
Phil, Stuart Sink, and Steve Stricker.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. They're all 40 plus.
You know what? That's discrimination. So, and
it's got to be 130. And you're talking about Phil going back, possibly, however that works out for his daughter's graduation. You've got Davis Love the III. He's got his son playing.
His son's playing. Davis Love the fourth
is playing. He's got to be about the same age as Phil's daughter, doesn't he? Pretty close.
I'm not sure of that.
19?
No. 20? Really? Maybe?
I think.
Well, Phil's daughter's graduated from high school, so. And interestingly enough,
I'm saying pretty close.
When Payne Stewart won the U.S. Open, Phil was on a beeper getting ready to fly out if Amanda was going to be born. And she was born the next day after Phil was defeated by Payne Stewart. And Payne Stewart famously held his hand.
So you're saying that kid is causing nothing but problems for Phil?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Is that what you're saying?
I think that's the love
of
his life.
That kid has always been
a problem.
Messing up U.S. Open.
No. But it was that famous scene where Payne Stewart grabs him and the camera's right on him and holds Phil's face.
Yeah, yeah.
And the face nose to nose almost says, hey, it's okay. Don't worry. You're going to be a father. That's pretty profound. It always brings it back to our friend Payne Stewart. God bless his soul.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was that was one of the major many chances that Phil had to win a U.S. Open. It's yet to do it, so it takes on super significance for Phil as he gets older and still trying to get that career Grand Slam, but get the U.S. Open that he's missed on every year, but six times a runner up at a U.S. Open. That was one of them right there that he was runner up. So yeah, it's there's a lot of drama, and it would be a great kind of a Sergio Garcia story to see Phil in the mix, if that's even possible. I just don't think that the golf gods are going to work in his favor. If he's got to be there, which he does, I guess, at his daughter's graduation, I just don't know that you can count on a four-hour delay. He's got to fly from Wisconsin. No. And I know you can get your own plane and everything, but from Wisconsin to San Diego, I mean, if it was a little bit closer, maybe, but that's about as far as you can get. It's, I think, going to be almost impossible for him to work all that and to make it happen. It'd be great if it does, but I don't think I would expect it. But Phil's giving it a shot, you know? I mean, we'll
but
see
the
if,
first,
and how bad would it be, too? It occurred to me, Frank, that he gets there, sees the graduation, which is Saturday morning, right?
Yeah.
And then even if there's a delay, gets back on the jet, comes all the way back. You got to land. You got to get in a car. What if he misses his tee time by like 20 minutes? I mean, you miss it, you miss it. They don't wait
That's
there
it.
For
no,
you.
No, they don't.
It could
You're
be
DQ'd.
That close. And how frustrating would that be if you came within 20 minutes or so of doing that amazing feat of making it happen?
Well,
but,
maybe he'll just hang out and watch some golf.
You know, a helicopter. That's right. You don't need a car. A helicopter from where he lands
well,
the plane.
It's interesting you
helicopter
said that.
Into Erin Hills.
That's probably That's what he'll do, to be honest.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, the year after Vijay Singh won it was the old TPC in those days in Pontevedra, the Players Championship, as it's called today, there was a Merrill Lynch shootout at Marsh Landing Country Club the next year on the Tuesday, I believe. It was the Monday.
Okay.
And so I'm there. I'm living there at the time. So we're over there getting ready for the shootout to start. Norman was playing in it and a bunch of them. And Vijay was running late. Vijay, a helicopter lands in the parking lot of Marsh Landing Country Club. Vijay gets out, takes his shirt off, is running across the parking lot. A cart grabs him, gets him out to the first tee. And he doesn't even tie his shoes, has his golf shoes on, shirt hanging out, and stripes one right down the middle. He ended up winning the shootout. No warm-up, no nothing.
Wow.
So that was interesting, but he did helicopter in from the airport. So,
well, like Rory barely made his tee time for a Ryder Cup a few years ago. Remember that?
Yeah, I wish
he got there because of Illinois State Police.
Yeah, thanks.
Got him there.
Thanks, Illinois State Police. The only way
so
they would
like,
escort me anywhere would be probably in the back of the car.
Yeah,
so we won't talk about that. So.
But anyway, we'll see. There's going to be a lot of drama for sure coming up at Erin Hills, and whether it's weather delay or weather related, or Phil making it or not making it, or John Rahm or somebody, the drama will be there somehow, some way. And we saw drama last year. It wasn't always the best the way that it turned out with Dustin Johnson and some rules calls and stuff. But you can guarantee there will be drama. So everybody needs to tune in. If you love golf or you just like drama of any kind, this would be the site for it because you just know, you're not sure what, but something's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
There, and I can't wait. I can't wait for it to happen. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun.
We're about done here, Frank.
Yeah,
what
we
do you
are.
Think?
Well, a couple of things, though. Just housekeeping issues. For our listeners, follow us at Golf Talk America, please. Let's get that Twitter account cranking. We're going to be giving away more than just the vertical groove driver. There are some other putters, driver, maybe some irons we'll be giving away pretty soon. So if you're following us at Golf Talk America, you're automatically eligible, and then we'll give you the entry website to go to. But it's entry at thegrillroom.com for Bob's vertical groove driver. And Bob appears on Golf Talk America courtesy of the vertical groove driver. And Golf Genius Software, which is one of our sponsors, and we'll be bringing one of their PGA Pros on here in the coming week or so to talk about Golf Genius Software. So go check out golfgenius.com. Poncho's Cheese Dip is not a sponsor. There's just great cheese dip. Check them out. love this stuff. They should be as much publicity as they get from us free.
Seriously.
Yeah. They got to give me the restaurant. But anyway, I wouldn't move there on a bet. I love Nashville. So, it's been fun today. It's been easy.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Congratulations
where did that
to
come
the,
from?
The Golden State Warriors. 129-120 NBA champions. Beat Cleveland last night, game five, so they win it 4-1. So, way to go, Warriors. And I guess you got to say Pittsburgh
Penguins,
too. Penguins somehow beat Nashville. Don't ask me how.
Yep.
And they win the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
That's about it.
Let's get out of here.
Time. Thanks to Bob Bupka for being with us, host of The Grill Room. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. And join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.